I am delighted to be here. Welcome, everybody. It's such a blessing. I'm doing great and just happy to be alive and happy to be here with everybody. So how are you today?
I'm doing much better, stronger, and getting close to being able to write again. So I'm looking forward to a very productive week. All of this is by God's grace that I took a little tumble in my health, and now I'm back walking in a straight line. So it happens to all of us. And I didn't have a desert to go out to like Yeshua did. That would have been nice, you know, to go out with a canteen of cold iced tea and maybe a little pack of fruit and just meditate for a while. But I took my meditation at home. I want to thank so many of you who took a moment to send me an email asking for your blessing. I love receiving them. Pardon me just a moment. I love receiving them for many reasons. One is I just love seeing your name in my inbox and a sweet hello from you. But also, when you write to me about the blessing you need, you're able to say a little more privately. And it gives me a better idea of how to wrap my heart and my mind around praying for your blessing. The Holy Spirit doesn't need words. And the Holy Spirit, Yeshua, and God the Father all know what you need. And you don't have to write an email or show up even online to receive a blessing. But one of the things I do suggest you do is you pray for it. Because we were told many times by the apostles to pray for that which we need. Ask for it. So I really do recommend that you do that. And one of the great things about showing up here, which does not require that you speak publicly at all, but just showing up, being here with your community members, it does a lot to put you into the concordance of compassion and directed attention onto what you need. You know, there are others who love you, and they want to be part of your blessing. We were told by Yeshua, actually he only gave us two remaining commandments. One is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, that's kind of a summary of the first 10 commandments. But he added to that, and to love your neighbors as yourself. I think neighbors was a very broad term in those days. It didn't mean someone who's in the same HOA as you or down the street. He meant those who share life with you, reality with you, more like a large extended family, people you may not have dinner with, but you know them by name, and you care about them, even if you don't know their name. To love them. The very meaning of the word compassion is caring and loving with others. With. Com means with. Just like comparison is putting two or more things together and deciding amongst the things you put together which has the best qualities or which is the best or would be preferable to you. Communication is not just you talking. It's being in a shared communication back and forth, speaking, listening, speaking again, and listening. Com is a very, very important word. And it's central to that commandment that he left us. That is to draw together. We see this in the many, many denominations of the Christian church. And we wonder, well, why there need to be so many denominations? Well, it's because the only one thing we all get right is that he brought it to us. He is the common denominator. His love, his salvation, his forgiveness, his mercy, all of the blessings we're talking about lately unite us. But in different countries and communities, sometimes we speak different languages. We come from different heritage groups. Some of us in parts of the world like being ceremonial. Some of us like coming together like we were sitting around a campfire, just throwing out life and helping each other deal with it. So there's so many ways we come together. And so as a result of that, we have many, many denominations within the larger body of Christianity. And yet they're all the same because they all provide us with a pathway upward, a pathway back home. And that's what's important. So let's be tolerant among each other. Some of you don't like the formal ways. Some of you don't like every teaching being prefaced with a passage from the Bible. I hope you still occasionally read the Bible. It gives you a touch of God like nothing else can do. But still, there's different styles of worship. Some people like to worship through song and praise. That's okay. Choose your style. Choose your community. But I do recommend you be together, because therein you are intensifying the compassion that drives your faith and the compassion that causes other people to really care about you and pray for you. We have a beautiful community that's been emerging over, well, a couple of decades and more, approximately 24 years. And it's amazing how many people are still here and active. And I love hearing your voice again. And then it's wonderful to hear a new voice coming. And maybe you're just coming to check us out. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome to be here. Put your straw in the water and drink up the blessings. And just a moment to talk about the blessings. You will receive your blessing from God, not from me or our blessing givers. We are conduits in the sense that we help to filter out the distractions, filter out whatever might, even in your own heart, might have come from a position of difficulty instead of from an attitude, an affirmation of faith. We help to filter the dross so that you have pure water to drink. And this is one of the beautiful ways that I like to discern when a message is coming directly from God or the Holy Spirit or Yeshua. It's the purity of it, the simplicity of it. And you are going to magnetize what's right for you. You're actually a very, very magnetic person. Everything in creation is magnetic. That's what actually activates and drives all of the electrical power that is in this universe. All of the energy is the magnetism of the base and initial strata from which everything was created. I kind of go tongue-in-cheek when people teaching the law of magnetism act as if it's something we're not doing. There really is no law of magnetism. Magnetism is everything. It was the beginning. It was here before anything was created. And everything that was created was drawn together through that magnetism. The problem is that we will magnetize things that don't work. Someone will tell us, oh, you've got this or that problem. Well, you've got to do this. This is the answer. That's the answer. You try it. It doesn't work. But it's still stuck in you as an effort you applied toward a solution. And eventually things build up and you think, oh, I'm giving up. Nothing works. Nothing works. Well, you haven't magnetized the right thing. And that's why it's so important to pray, because it's hard to pray for the wrong thing when you're really communicating with your Father. And don't pray just celebrating the concept of prayer. Pray from your heart. Talk to your Father. Okay, if you were a little boy, a little girl, sitting in the lap of your daddy, what would you ask him? You're going to ask him about all kinds of things you think you... You're not going to ask him about some castle you would like to own someday, 25 years from then. No. You're going to ask him how to have more friends, how to make people like you, how to tolerate people you don't like. Or you might just ask him for an ice cream cone. But everything you ask your daddy will be relevant to you now. Now, right now. It will be relevant and meaningful. Talk to God like that. Talk to God in your prayer. And your prayers will purify. You won't bring in all the dross of the world that is trying to promote you to thinking, well, you know, I need this. I need that. And I guess I got to have this before I have that. You don't. You need exactly what is required now to have the most perfect life you can have right now. And in the process of doing that, in the process of getting the dross cleared out, well, we have to get it a little bit cleared out of ourselves. And we have to realize that people giving us ideas, they don't really know any more than we know how to get the job done. They're just trying to help. Or maybe they're passing on something. They didn't check it out. They didn't really know. Well, you gotta forgive that. Things happen in life, and they're not good. But you get stuck on it. Because when you're stuck on something, it tends to persist. And it's like you get your foot in quicksand. And that quicksand just doesn't stop pulling on you. And it pulls on your foot and then your leg. And you say, oh, my goodness, I got to have a rope to keep from going under. Well, no, you don't. All you have to do is go back to the first little queasy moment you had with it and say, hey, look, let go. You don't need me. I don't need you. Let's not do this, okay? There's many ways of forgiving. Here's one of the things we shy away from in forgiving is we don't like the word. We really don't. We don't like asking for forgiveness. And the idea of giving it makes us seem a little bit pompous and superior. And we don't like that feeling either. So how about this? Hey, do we really need to do this? How about words like that? Are you getting anything from doing this? I'm not. Let's go do something else. You see, there's so many ways you can embrace the spirit of forgiveness and letting go. Now that brings us to our lesson today. Our lesson today is number 5 from the Beatitudes. Here we go. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If you let go of the rope, the person on the other end of the rope will let go of it too, and you'll both be free. Mercy is really realizing when something doesn't work and you're able to say, okay, we tried. Well, we were wrong. And use the word we. Get over your addiction to the word you. Well, you were wrong. Acquit it. You, both parties were at least a little bit wrong to fall for something that really had no workable potential. Okay, well, we tried, but it didn't work. How's that for a softer way of saying, let's forgive ourselves. Let's walk on down the road. Let's do something better. Or you could even say, hey, you know, you got any better ideas? I love that one. I would suggest that in the spirit of mercy, not only to others, but to yourself, make a list of alternatives you could use for the word forgive. There's so many other ways you can say it. People just want to be released. They don't want to keep being wrong, but they'll hold on to it as long as you hold on to it. It's really that simple. But let me read to you what was in Love Without End. It was on page 237, folding over into page 238. Now, there's more. There's more. This was actually one of the shorter Beatitudes in Love Without End. But it flows over into the next one, which is really quite long. And I'll just leave it. I'll leave it in the short form today because we want to talk about this in a more casual way. But I'm going to read you what's written. Those who extend mercy receive mercy. In forgiving, we are forgiven. Jesus gave me one more reason beyond that. Mm-hmm. Only the heart can understand forgiveness. Therefore, in practicing forgiveness every day, the heart will be given preeminence in your life. And here are his words. Practice forgiveness every day. It liberates the soul from bondage. And beyond that, forgiveness is an action which your mind can never understand. Your mind's role, soul intent, is to balance the books. In issues of morality, it only wants to get even. Therefore, practice forgiveness every day, if only in trivial matters. This is an excellent way of tempering the mind and empowering the heart. Mercy is not just a way of balancing cause and effect, although that is certainly a valid reason to practice it. The greater reason for practicing forgiveness is that whenever you are merciful, you grow. As you grow, you become more blessed. and the very thing that might harm you or cause you resistance will be given no power. Mercy is the flower of growth. Those who are restrained in mercy will have limited influence in life. Personally, I have learned from this blessing that all things and events we do not forgive are the very causes of our entrapment into the smallest dimensions of life. The greatest tool for expansion that we have is forgiveness. We get stuck in the small issues when we won't forgive. And it can't be too small to apply to this lesson. This lesson is just really, really powerful beyond all measure. Let me give you just a little example. I would express if we were in a campfire meeting, it's that casual, really. Yesterday, I was in the grocery store looking for something that would, I wasn't hungry, and my appetite has not been really good lately. So I actually did something that is untypical for me. I went over to the dessert section in the deli, and I thought, well, maybe there'll be something sort of okay that's not super sweet, like creme brulee or an old favorite. Well, I looked it over, and everything was just like too over the top. I love a coconut pie if it has meringue on top, but not if it has whipped cream. That's just like over the top for me. But I saw something that I used to like a lot, and it was lemon. Key lime. Not mousse. Well, yeah, it was key lime pie. And it was key lime pie with meringue. And I thought, well, you know, that might be nice to have. I brought it home and put it on a dish and took a bite and then another bite. And I sat back and I said to myself, Glenda, what are you doing? This is not you. This is not what I eat. And I looked at that pie and I said, you tempted me. as if that pie had any power at all. But anyway, in my childish mood that I was in, you tempted me. I can't eat you. And the pie was indifferent, of course. And it just sat there and looked at me, and I said, well, okay, this one time I'll finish you because you are good, and I used to love you, and I'll just go ahead and finish you, and then I won't worry about it. Okay, I finished that pie, and I feel terrible, terrible. I'm in a sugar spike and not wanting any. My appetite is totally gone after that. And I'm agitated for that. You know, like a kid that just ate a box of chocolates, agitated. I went, Glenda, you fool. How could you do that? And I thought, oh, my goodness. All right. Okay. Gigi, I forgive you. And I forgive the pie. And I forgive the chef that made it. You did a good job, but you didn't do it for me. And I wish you well. And I'll admire this when I see it in on the shelf again, but I'm not taking any more. Well, you know, everything I had magnetized in on me, it left. All the jitters were gone. got my appetite back. All the punishment I had inflicted on myself was gone. See, everything that went wrong for me, I had inflicted on myself because I did something that was inappropriate for me. Well, it all cleared up. That was fine. I made a cup of bone broth, and then I ate an orange, and I thought, okay, well, that was a nice snack. I patted myself on the back and got on with my day. So, like I said, there's nothing too small to forgive. Because if you don't, the magnetism you use, just like I attracted that key lime pie magnetically, and it was stuck on me. I tried to push it away, and I couldn't. So I said, oh, what the heck? I'll just eat all of it. And then I tried to push that away, and I couldn't. And I got the jitters and a sugar spike. And I tried blaming myself at that point. And that didn't work. Nothing took it away because it was glued. When I forgave myself, and then I forgave the pie, and I forgave the common misunderstanding so many people have that confections like that are really nice, really good, not really realizing at all what they're setting themselves up for. So that's just an example. And I felt, because, you know, usually when we think about forgiveness, we're thinking about someone who cost me my job unjustly. A traffic ticket I got when I really, really wasn't speeding. Everybody else was going faster, but I got picked on. Yeah, yeah. Okay, those are the things we think fall in the need to forgive category, or worse than that. And it's not, because forgiveness is what's going to release the magnet. You know, you release the magnet, you release everything else that got attracted collaterally through that thing hurting you, and it all goes away. Now, your cup has room for something else. So I filled my cup with bone broth, and I put a beautiful fresh orange on the plate to go with it. There was room for something that was actually good for me. That's just that's a little example of how you can clear your life up in small ways. Now, when it comes to, so let's speak on mercy, and I'll be again anecdotal on mercy. I remember the old days when my mother was in, she passed away with, I don't think they ever actually diagnosed her with Alzheimer's, but she was in advanced dementia. And what took her life was pneumonia. And I suppose in a way it was a blessing, because she was 93 years old and constantly suffering from one thing or another. But anyway, in her advanced years of dementia, she would tell stories about how she used to pal around with, well, it was whatever movie star she had seen on some sitcom or movie that she'd been watching in the community room, and how they came to our house. And at first I tried to correct her, and then I thought, no, she's enjoying herself. Hey, I'll jump in the story. And I say, yeah, do you remember when Roy Rogers let me ride Trigger? And she said, yeah, that was the cutest thing I ever saw. My friends, that's mercy. You just jump in and play too. You let them have what they need. Let them have it. People, most people wouldn't be doing what they're doing unless they at least believed they needed to do it. Somebody you like, likes country music and you hate it. Well, listen to a little bit of it with them. And maybe put on one that you kind of like. And you say, hey, I like the rhythm, let's dance. You can create with people. Now, when people do things destructively, there's an intervention that is essential. And that's expected because we are our brothers and sisters keeper. And it's essential to intervene when something is going in a destructive direction. But up until that point, I think we should allow mercy to govern our actions. Sometimes people fabricate reality, and they don't even really know they've done that. And somewhere down the line, you can correct on that. But at that moment, let them have it. It's okay. Unless it's really, really trying to change the state of the world or cost someone their job through malicious gossip. But that's different, and you'll know it. You'll feel it. You know, you really will. And just let them have it. Mercy is letting others have the life they need and trying to adapt to their needs, along with requesting that they adapt to yours. And that brings me to the last principle of mercy. Because even so, we focused a little bit on forgiveness. It was kind of the lighter side of forgiveness on the blessing of mercy. There is a fundamental law of nature and creation, and that is that it's all about adaptation. One thing is adapting to another at all times, literally at all times. The sun comes up and the leaves and the flowers turn to the east. That's adaptation. Okay? And sometimes adaptation is a constructive, beneficial direction of life, such as that. And other times, it's not beneficial. For example, we're on the highway, and one person decides to drive 10 miles above the speed limit. And then everybody thinks, oh, well, if we just all drive 10 miles above the speed limit, then there's no one that the policeman could stop. Let's all do it. Not such a good use of the principle of adaptation. But that actually is what's going on in every trending, what we call trending flow, is it's mass adaptation to something. You get an idea, you promote it, and if you get a million followers, you're a mega influencer, and people are adapting to your thoughts and your influence. You need to understand that adaptation is happening everywhere, and we tend to confuse it with truth. We tend to confuse it even with reality, because if the adaptation stopped for just a moment, everything people were adapting to would fall apart. It's not real reality. There's a lot of this created in the world today through social media. And there's a lot of spin-offs that fake news creates to persuade a point of agreement. So be aware that this is happening. and allow yourself a little perspective on it. You don't have to come down negatively on it, because it's just the adolescent side of human psychology. And the reason I called it adolescent is literally because when all of us, and I'm going to take you back to your youth so that you can really have compassion for this. When you were in your adolescence, you didn't yet know what life was all about. You didn't yet know what you wanted to do with your life. You didn't even know, really, how to dress or what was, how to make friends. So you followed the trends. You know, if someone wore Nikes, you'd wear Nikes and you'd bug your parents. I gotta have these Nikes. Everybody's wearing these Nikes. Come on. What can you do? And your dad might say, okay, mow the lawn, you'll get your Nikes. We've all done it. And it's the common way of doing things in adolescence. Because we don't even know yet what we personally really want. We just want to belong. We want to be part of life. We want to be part of the flow. In this country right now, and I rarely talk about anything in the world, but this I will talk about. I see us in quite the adolescent phase. We're still a very young nation. And when we were children, we prospered on the guidance of parents, and we experienced life innocently. Okay, when we're in innocent connection with life, we see a horse and we say, hey, you know, I want that to ride to school. That's what my grandmother would have said. Hey, Dad, can I ride that to school? He'd say, sure, let's get you a horse. It wasn't about trending on horses. It was about getting a ride to school. But Dad and Mom and the elders of the community were your parents. They were your leaders in shaping your reality. You add to that the laws of the land. You add to that the laws of God. And so you had guidance from parental forces. And then you had an innocent rapport with life. And it all kind of made sense. Well, somewhere during the 20th century, we transitioned into our, well, pre-adolescence. They were, in my generation, we were still pretty much connected to patriarchal systems, or matriarchal systems, as the case might be. Our leaders influenced us. But we were getting kind of radical. That was the boomers. We got really radical and really reacting, becoming the new phase in the world and proud of it. And we did some pretty outlandish, radical, reactive things. Not particularly proud of that, but I am proud of my generation because we stood up for some great new values, like living beyond war, having a planet without war, creating spirituality that could include anyone and everyone with less judgment. We did some good things, but we were young teenagers. We were just in the phase where you're breaking away from mom and dad. Now we're into the world where we're the mature adolescent that thinks mom and dad knew nothing. They were so stupid. I can't believe they live in that tight regimen. We have to take charge. That's where we are right now. just my opinion. And, you know, I'm part of this progressing world too. And I'm sure that among these adult adolescents, there are some brilliant, brilliant people merging and creating a valiant new reality. But it comes off like the way I was describing it. And so the reason I tell you that is to have mercy on it. Have mercy. You were once there too. You went through that phase yourself. You see, mercy encourages us to be empathetic. Not just sympathetic, but empathetic, and realize, well, you know, I was once a teenager. Yeah, I can see that's going on. Teenagers like to be inclusive. They like to diversify. Everything that's going on today is all teenage reality. It is, really. And they'll outgrow it. We will all get through it. We will. In the meantime, we got to find a way to live together. And there comes mercy. Because adaptation has to work both ways. We ask our world of citizens growing up into a new reality to please at least adapt to the laws that work, the laws of God, the laws of nature. Okay. And they're going to say back to us, please adapt to the new given life of your children and your grandchildren. We didn't come here for no reason. Thank you very much. And we're going to be taking over soon. So get used to it. You see, adaptation has to work both ways. And when you're actually in that phase of adaptation, you are merciful. You're willing to be merciful. And we ask that these rebellious teenage spirits be merciful to us. We built the foundation on which they stand. And so mercy has to work both ways. Adaptation has to work both ways. And they work hand in glove. Without one, there cannot be the other. And it doesn't have to go so far into the entitled privilege to boast something like, well, I forgive you. There's something about that that's a little bit arrogant, isn't it? That's why we avoid it. But we are going to get a grip on it in the next blessing that Yeshua gives us next week. So be here for the next chapter, the next channel on the same station. Because he knows how to build a teaching like nobody else I have ever encountered. Because he knows what it's all about. So, I guess we will, Nancy, we probably have people on the board.
We do.
And I think it's a good time to open the board. We're open to anything you want to contribute or ask. Some of you may want to ask for a blessing. Some of you may want to contribute your experience or reality on the beatitude we've just discussed about mercy. Whatever it is, it's your time.
Absolutely. I'm going to open up Candace's line. Candace, welcome. We're glad you're here today.
Well, hello. Maura and I are together. And so it's my fault. Maura would like to say a little something today.
Oh, great.
Hi. I wanted to
Maura.
Say hello. Pardon?
Hello. I said hello.
Oh, thank you. Hello to you, too. And I just want to let you know that I'm still on the planet. I feel that my soul is pretty well, but my space suit that I wear on this planet is kind of wearing out a little. And so I don't know how many calls I will make or when or if. So I wanted to be sure and send love and deep gratitude to all of you, especially you, of course, Yeshua and Glenda, for all.
We love you so much, Maura.
Thank you.
We love you so, so much, and always will. We always will. You are a member of our community, and I hope you're going to be in the welcoming committee when the rest of us get where you're going.
Thank you. That would really be fun.
Yeah. I get there and say,
I couldn't hear that, but anyway, I hear it in my heart. If I don't hear the exact words or identify the voice anymore, that's where we talk, I think, now anyway. So, and I would like to let you all know that Candace has been a real huge, huge help to me and my family while I've been going through this process of, I have very little eyesight anymore. And so she's often my eyes, and all my kids are just great. Not all too healthy at the moment. My son, the painter, the one that's been painting all his all his life, really, that he could hold a pen, has cancer. That's what they think it is. And I have a daughter who's having a great deal of difficulty with her back. So I would like to include them especially, but all of them, all of you, I thank from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done for me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being the blessing that you are.
Amen.
You are a blessing to us. And we love you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Candace, thank you so much for being Mara's right arm during this time of evolution.
Well,
you are a true friend.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Glenda. She's certainly been a blessing to me too. So I appreciate her. Thank you. Thank you. You can go on to another call, you guys, so we don't take up too much time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Gosh, so good to hear her voice. So good to hear you, Mara. Glenda, I'm going to open up Stephen's line. Hi, Stephen. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks for taking my call. We're on the coast of Maine, and we're just looking out at the ocean here. It's quiet in the bay, but it's beautiful. I wanted to ask a blessing. My son just left a couple of hours ago, and he's got a flat tire a couple of hours from here. And so I hope he went to the Walmart, and I hope that they'll be able to fix the tire.
Okay, me too.
Safety on his way home.
And safety on his way home, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, Glenda, if you're able to get my book and if you're able to look at it, and if you appreciated any of the poems. Or...
Stephen, I didn't get your book.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
What is it called?
It's called The Scarlet Thread. I sent it like, what do you call it? Registered mail. So I, okay. I'll try to figure that out.
Well, I have been having someone else pick up my mail recently.
Okay.
Because for about 3 weeks, I thought it was a better practice not to drive.
Okay.
So
yeah.
it may be in a stack of mail I have not sorted through yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, no, that's fine. I think I sent it in May. So anyway, I'll check
the
registration number. I'll definitely look it up. But my son is the main. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm looking around my office right now. I don't see it anywhere.
Oh. It's a little green book.
It's green. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's helps.
Anyway, don't worry.
Well, ask the blessing that she finds it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you. I will email you.
Okay. I'm more concerned about my son right now than I am my book.
Of course.
What would that be?
Well, let's see. Well, we pray that he gets safely to where that tire can be fixed. And it stays fixed for a while.
I appreciate that.
And he was already blessed that he didn't have a blowout in his head.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Glenda. I'll sign off.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Blessings to you, Stephen. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We have one more caller, Glenda. We have Stormy. Stormy, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very good. I wish to amplify the word peace in addition for this blessing call. David Gibson told me that was his theme for Saturday, his radio show, and I reminded him that when I sing one of my crystal bow notes in front of people, very often people experience the peace that passes all understanding. And that is also a part of being able to work with mercy.
Definitely.
Yes, it is, Stormy.
I remember I played some music at a piano. You were speaking in Dallas on Conversations with Christ, and you did not want to get up and go do the lecture. You just wanted to experienced the peace that was passing all understanding from my fingers. And I went, no, Glenda, they're here to hear you. It's, and I didn't say this, but it's your time, Glenda. It's for you to get ready for me and those like me to come. And we're getting ready for more and more of what I do. And people are coming to realize within themselves that they can hear the peace that passes all understanding and experience it and be it. And I really appreciate your theme on mercy today. I appreciate it greatly.
Amen.
Thank you, Stormy. Yeah, well, you know, I can reflect on what you were saying from the chapter written in the Keys of Yeshua about peace. And basically, the theme of that is there is no peace in the world. Peace is from the world that is beyond the world. In this world, there's only a state of ceasefire, get along, love your neighbor, do the best you can, enjoy life. But that's not actually true peace. True peace exists at a level above the world. And this is why Yeshua said, made a comment to the apostles that has been a source of debate and misunderstanding to many, many people, and especially theologians who try to make too much out of everything. He said, I did not come to bring peace to the world. I came to bring conflict. And they go, what? Well, in the world, sometimes peace means give up and conform. Do what I say. Don't fight back. Just be conformed. That's not peace. He came to bring peace where peace belongs. And sometimes in the world, as we're seeing today, a little bit of good confrontation is a healthy thing to bring, you know, mischief out of the woodwork and expose it so that we can actually rise to a higher level of living together. Being too conformed is not the same as peace. And that's what he was really talking about, because, and he said that in different ways, in different passages, where he talked about the Pharisees and the priests who were just conformed into their religion, but they were not actually being with God. And so he tried to teach this, but not very many people were ready to hear it at the time. And through the ages, it's been one of the most misunderstood lessons that he brought to the human community. So, Stormy, yeah, thanks for adding that, because true peace is always beyond understanding. The only thing we can really understand is what's in the world, and peace is not available in the world. If we push too far for it, all we've got is, let's don't argue, let's just shape up and do what I say. We don't want that. That's not going to get the world we want coming to us. But I want you to be a little bit grateful that there is conflict and disagreement in the world, because it means people are waking up. They're waking up to what they don't like, don't want, to reach for more of what really will make life better. And there are people starting to wake up to the idea that peace, real peace, is possible, not just ceasing war. Ceasing war is great. I'm all for that, but it's not real peace. Real peace comes from the heart. It comes from the soul that can take you to a higher level of living and existing. So keep your faith high, Stormy. Your day is coming. All right?
I understand what you're saying, Glenda. I truly understand where we are and where we're going, because I've already seen where we're going to be, Glenda. I already know.
I know you.
Right.
I'm saying this not for you, Stormy. Yeah. I'm saying this for the benefit of everyone else.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, Nancy, it looks like our board is clear.
Our board is clear.
And we have got plenty of time to get ready for a good preparation for blessing. Sometimes we don't have that, but we do today, and I'm really glad that we do. So, I want everybody to take a deep breath. Just let go. Okay. There's really nothing more to listen to except your heart, your soul, and the voice of God. Nothing more to think about. If you want to hear everything that was said today, it'll all be recorded and available for you just to go back and boot scoot through it to talk like a Texan. Right now, what I want you to do is just relax. Relax, because in relaxing, you're going to receive. Every blessing that's ever been intended for you is already here, but you're not getting it yet. You're not getting it. Well, that's partly because you haven't relaxed into a place or a state of being where you can actually receive it. You know, you're still thinking, worrying, doubting, and agonizing one way or the other over what's possible or what could happen if your blessing didn't happen. Well, sometimes what we think is a blessing is not what God thinks is a blessing. So we have a conflict of will. Sometimes the problem is we want what we want. And if we get what we want, that's a blessing. From God's perspective, He wants us to have what we need. But the problem is, we don't always know what we need. What we need may be something we've never even thought about. It may be a friend we haven't met yet. It may be an idea we haven't heard about or connected with through someone else yet. It may be an ability we haven't yet cultivated, and we have to be taken in another direction in order to cultivate that ability. So a really big part of relaxing into the blessing is to follow the opening words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. And why did he say daily? Because that's all we need. While God is arranging and rearranging potential to bring us on earth what is possible for us in heaven. He often doesn't go out a long distance. He often doesn't. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he takes us to the place we need to relocate in, and we'll be there for 20 years. But most of the time, it's our daily bread. It's what we need now. And it's right there. But we tend to overlook or undervalue the immediate things we could reach for on the counter, in the refrigerator, on the telephone just by calling someone, going out for an afternoon. We tend to overlook these simple blessings that could so beautifully lead to the larger one we need and want. So I want you to drop your preconception of what blessing needs to happen next. Your Father knows. He's here for you. And He knows as surely as an earthly father could know the one who comes to tuck you into bed or wake you up in the morning and call you to breakfast. He knows, and He's there to provide it. Well, my friends, in order to be in that state, let's just clear our mind. if you could have attracted it, you already would. Because you never stop attracting something. So we want to talk about breath. I want you to follow your breath. And realize that the greatest miracle of your life is breath. What it brings into you, what it allows you to give. And in between the taking in and the giving, transformation occurs. When you take in breath, the next step is transformation inside yourself. When you give a breath, the next step is transformation outside yourself. Take a breath in, a nice deep one, and hold it. For a couple of seconds, just hold it. Now release it. And wait a few seconds before you inhale again. That next breath will be different from the one that preceded it. It always is that way. To get us primed for this mindful breath that we've learned to do, I want you to take a very, very deep breath. Close your mouth, because you're going to inhale through your nose, and you're going to take that breath up into your sinuses. It will enliven your brain. It will clear your sinuses. It will take air up to chambers of your body that sometimes you neglect, and then you wonder why you get allergies and sinus infections. So I want you to breathe up, and then add to that the deeper breath that is expanded through your ribs and your diaphragm. Hold it for a few seconds. And then I want you to blow it out for cleansing, just for the feeling of emptiness that you've given your all back into life. Now, take another breath, very deep, same way. And hold it a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds. And now, slowly exhale. Just let it out slowly. Giving into life what you have to offer. We're going to extend our relaxation now. Whether you're standing, sitting, or lying down in bed, I hope that anyone has a little mobility in their arm. Extend your arm. First, let's go with our right arm. Just extend it. Stretch it out as far as you can and pull your fingers back to your arm so that your palm is stretched. Okay. I feel a nice stretch on your arm. That stretch on your arm goes all the way into your shoulder. So it actually opens up your shoulder cuff. Okay. And that will start opening up your neck. When it's in that position of being stretched, the next thing you do is you're going to make windmills out of your hand and arm. Just little It could be just little circular movements. I recommend going on your right hand in a clockwise direction. Okay? This way we move from front to back. And just move it a few times until you're feeling your shoulder and your neck really relax and open up. All right. Now let's drop that arm and do the same with our left arm. Take it out as far as you can. Okay. Feel the stretch. Bring the fingers back towards your arm. All right. And stretch the palm of your hand. Give it a good stretch. Okay. Again, let's go in a clockwise direction. No, a counterclockwise direction. We want to go from front to back. Counterclockwise. Okay. And keep the stretch. And keep the circulation. The rotation smooth. Feel that shoulder open up and how it now frees its connection with your neck. Let's relax that arm. Put it in our lap. We're going to continue with your neck. Let's turn our head to the right. Until you feel a nice stretch on your left side. And tilt your head just a little bit to emphasize more stretch. Bring it upright and turn it to the left. And tilt your head into the stretch, into the turn. That's it. Now feel how your shoulder on the right is opening up. Good. Move your neck and head straight up. And bring your chin down into your neck so that you stretch the back of your head. Go as far as you can. To create a stretch in the upper cervical region of your neck. That's good. You need to get more blood flow into your head. Okay. If you get just a little bit of dizziness, do that. Don't worry about it. It's natural. It's normal because that tilt can be extreme enough to shut down a little bit of flow. And we're going to remedy that right now. We're going to bring your head back up straight. And we're going to tilt it to the back. Okay. So that there's a curvature to your neck in front. And that's going to add more openness to that part of your shoulders that gets so tight. The one that you say, oh, that hurts so good. If somebody gives you a little squeeze right there, or a therapist does, oh, that hurts so good because it's been blocked. And that's partly because your head is about the weight of a bowling ball and your neck has to hold it up all day long. Okay. And now we're going to, I'm doing all the things first that someone who's sitting down could also do. Okay, so now we're going to lean forward. Just lean forward so that you stretch your back and take your head down as close as you can to your knees. Just you're folding on your head. Okay. All right. There you go. And bring it back up and lean back a little bit and push back with your shoulders so that you open your thorax in front. This is so, so very important because your thorax is the center of your immune system. This is actually why the great apes beat on their thorax, because they're waking up their immunity for whatever they encounter during the day. All right, so lean your, move your arms back, okay, and move your elbows back towards your back so that you stretch the thoracic area as much as you can. Good. All right. Now, those of you who can stand, please stand. If you need to hold on to something, just find the back of a chair, the edge of a table, or whatever else works. And extend first your right leg. Not too far, just a little bit, so that you get a little stretch in your hips. And now I want you to make a windmill with it, okay? Because that's going to create fluidity in your hip joint. Now, extend your left leg, as far as, just a foot or two. It doesn't have to be, you're not in yoga class, and I want you to now make a windmill with your leg, whatever you can do, and you can take it either or both directions, because this purpose is to open up your hip. And having done that, I want you to stand straight, but move your keep your hips and your feet pointed forward, but turn your body, your upper body, to the right so that you're pivoting at your in your low spine. Turn your body to the right. Good. Now turn your body, your upper body. Keep your hips straight. Turn your upper body to the left. Great. Okay. Now I want you just to bend forward a little bit so that your low back is the pivot point for your body. It does a lot of work for you during the day. And this is the time when you get to give it a little movement and grace. Now bend back as far as you can. It may only be an inch or two. That's all right. Don't force something that doesn't feel good to you. Just bend back a little bit and take your arms. Fold your arms so that your hands are coming in towards your thorax. You're going to make the wings of a little butterfly, okay? And you're going to pull those wings to your back as you bend back so that you put more stretch on the thorax. Okay. Good, good, good. All right. And that's it. That's it. We don't need to do any more because this is not an exercise class. This is an opening, a flow opening exercise to get the flows moving beautifully in your body. Now I just want you to be peaceful. Sit down. All receivers are to sit. The blessing givers will stand with me, but all receivers are to sit right now. And when we're in the last stage, I will ask you to lie down. There's a reason for that. But for now, you will stay more relaxed being seated. And also, another thing about being seated is that your head is pointed upwards to receive from cosmic grace. And your feet are on the ground to receive from the earth. You're going to be receiving from both places, from the cosmic heavens of sacred creation flowing through you, anchored by the earth that will receive this for you. Anchor it and send the earth's blessing back to you along with it. So you are receiving the blessing of God the Creator, the universe, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, and the earth, all perfectly synchronized for you. Which means that your blessing may show up in material form from resembling any or all of the sources, any or all. It may show up in material form. It may show up in friendship form. It may show up in inspiration form or guidance. It may show up in redirection or just helping you to feel good about yourself and knowing what to do. For now, just receive. And if you will be in that place, I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. O Lord of life, Son of God, brother to us all, the one who gave your life to show us what was possible in our life. We thank you for walking with us always, for being available for our many needs and helping us fulfill our many dreams and desires to have a fulfilled and complete life. We thank you for being here today. For helping us to see the rightness in our life and to release that which really doesn't apply anymore. Your way is our way. As you taught the apostles, you are the way, and we follow you. I ask that you would hear the prayers of each member of our community, for they will be different. They will be unique to their life. And you know them each by heart and love them each in your own special way. By that same measure, you love us all. And you came to this earth for all of us to help us all discover who we are and how to be a more complete formation of the possibility within. We ask that you help us resolve the conflicts in our world, that we may find a more constructive, meaningful way towards bringing truth and love and blessings into our world. Thank you for all you've taught us. And for teaching us how to apply the best of what we learn. We ask that you be with the children, that you be with those who haven't had anything to eat for a while, that you give them food, and those who are struggling to find a reason for living. We pray that you give them hope and faith and the charity of their fellow man, that they may find a community in which to share. Now we just surrender into your loving arms to receive the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, your love, and the creative ordination of our life from our Heavenly Father. In your holy name, we ask this. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, spend a little time receiving. What I want you to do is to lie down flat on your bed, on a sofa, on a mat, on the ground, wherever. The place doesn't matter. It matters that your body is horizontal. No part is higher than any other, for all parts of your body and being will be blessed. Bye-bye for now from me. I wish you a wonderful week and blessings in every way. Amen.